Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister to Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's holy and divine will. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given many times for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we encourage you all of these services, you will always be warmly received. If you have questions, write them in, and we will endeavor to answer those beginning next year again. We want to continue our discussion this morning on why we believe. Our subject this morning is why we don't believe Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, in this brief radio broadcast, we can't go into the details, but we're going to hit the high spots of why we believe that the 1,000-year reign on earth, as so many depict that will happen, is a false doctrine. The doctrine of premillennialism teaches that when the Christ returns, there will be a resurrection of the righteous, and then there will be a 7-year rapture, righteous taken to heaven, while there are 7 years of tribulation on earth, during which the Antichrist reigns. At the end of the 7 years, there will be a judgment of the saints, the Battle of Armageddon, the kingdom will be established, the temple will be rebuilt, and the Jews will return to Palestine. Christ will return to sit on the literal throne for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, the wicked will be raised, and then the judgment. The basic elements of this doctrine are, the kingdom is yet to be established. The kingdom will be a literal material kingdom. Christ will come back and reign in a literal throne in Jerusalem. There will be a 1,000-year reign on Christ on the earth, and the Jews will return to Palestine. Let's consider several reasons why we don't believe Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. First and foremost, it's not in the Bible. Quite often, those who believe error will ask us to disprove their doctrine, which can be done. However, the burden of proof rests upon those who believe a doctrine to prove that it is true by the Scriptures. We must believe and teach only what is found in the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we're to only speak the oracles of God. We must always check what we're taught in the Bible. Never accept what anyone teaches, that includes us, without checking it by the Bible. We're not asking you to take our word for it. We ask you to look at the verses. The Bereans were commended because they searched the Scriptures to see if what they were taught was so. Acts 17:11. John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John 4, verse 1. How that is done is revealed in 5 verses later in verse 6. If the doctrine agrees with the apostles' teaching, it is truth. If it doesn't, it's error. The doctrine that teaches that Christ will return and reign on the earth 1,000 years is just not found in the Bible. Without biblical evidence, we cannot accept it as true. Another foundational point of premillennialism that the Bible will clearly show to be erroneous by their understanding is that the kingdom has already been established. Premillennialists teach that the kingdom is to be established in the future. If we can show that the kingdom has already been established, then that doctrine is false. Daniel prophesied the kingdom would be established during the Roman Empire in Daniel 2, verse 44 and 45. Daniel interpreted a dream that the Babylonian king had. Daniel told the king, "You, O king, were watching, and behold, the great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron, partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet, the iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. Then the iron and clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together. They became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. That the stone was struck, the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation before the king." Daniel 2, 31 through 36. When he explained the dream, Daniel said, "Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold," verse 38. Then he added, "But after you will rise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the earth. And a fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces, shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Verse 39 and 40. Four world empires in the dream. They were the Babylonian Empire, the gold, the Mede-Persian, the silver, the Greek Empire, the bronze, and the Roman Empire, the iron and the clay. The prophet then said, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 44. Thus the kingdom would be established in the days of the Roman Empire. It has already been established. Some in the time of Christ would live to see the kingdom come in power. Read Mark 9, verse 1. Jesus promised that some would be living and standing in the time of the living when the kingdom was established. That day has come and went. Some in Paul's day were in the kingdom, according to Colossians 1:13. These were translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. If they were in the kingdom, then it has been established. The church and the kingdom are one and the same. They have the same head. Christ is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18, and He's the King of the kingdom, Colossians 1, verse 13. They have the same subject and territory. People from all nations come into the church, Romans 1, verse 5, and they come into the kingdom, Acts 2:39. The terms of entrance are the same. One is baptized into the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and born of the water to enter the kingdom, John 3:3-5. The gospel is the law of the church, Romans 1:15. It is also the law of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. The Lord's Supper is a memorial for the church, 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, and is in the kingdom, according to Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30. Jesus used the terms church and kingdom interchangeably. And I say to you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:18-19. I will build my house, and I will give you the keys to my dwelling. You understand that house and dwelling are one and the same. Why would Jesus build one thing and give the keys of entrance to something quite different? He wouldn't. Christ is already on David's throne. Daniel foretold this, that the Son of Man received the kingdom when he ascended to the Ancient of Days, in the prophecy of Daniel 7:13-14. Furthermore, the Christ would be a king and a priest on his throne, according to the prophet Zechariah in chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13. If he were on earth, he could not be a priest, because he was not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 8, verse 4. Thus, if he were on the earth, he could not be a king. The psalmist said David's throne is established forever and ever in Psalms 89, verse 35-37. Christ is now on the throne. Remember, he's both king and priest. Thus, he is king and a priest at the same time. He is priest now, Hebrews 4:14-15. Thus, he is king now. Peter's sermon declared that he's now sitting at the right hand of God, Acts 2:30-36. If Christ is on his throne in heaven, then the kingdom is not in the future, and it's not here on the earth. The second coming ends the reign of Christ. No one knows the day or the hour when the Lord will return, according to Matthew 24, verse 36. And he will come as a thief of the night, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 9 and 10. When he does come, that will bring an end to his reign. When the King Christ returns, his reign and his throne will end as he delivers the kingdom to his Father, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24. The second coming ends his reign rather than begins his reign. The earth and all the things that are in it will be burned up at the second coming, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 19 and 10. It says that all the elements will melt with fervent heat. All the elements is what makes up the heaven and the earth, and they will be consumed with fire. There is no promise that the Jews will return to Palestine. The land of Palestine was promised to Abraham and his seed, according to Genesis 13:15 and 15 verse 18. The premillennialists teach that promise is yet to be fulfilled. Oh, but wait. The Bible says that promise has been fulfilled. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand, and not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Again, notice the word all. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn, behold, this day I am going the way of the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass, not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, and so the Lord will bring upon you all the harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land to which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord that he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Joshua chapter 23, 14 through 16. The territory which Solomon reigned shows that the land promise has been fulfilled. There is no promise in the Bible that the Jews will return to Palestine, or that the land is theirs, or that God is going to give it back to them after they lost it through disobedience. Another thing, Revelation 20 doesn't teach it. Those who believe that Christ will return to earth and reign in a kingdom for 1,000 years appeal to Revelation 20 verse 4, which says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is signified and is symbolic language. The book begins on the note that is written in figurative language, Revelation 1 verse 1. Thus, everything in the book is not to be taken literally. There are a number of things in Revelation 20 that are not literal. Bottomless pit, verse 1. Great chain, verse 1. Dragon, verse 2. Serpent, verse 2. These are not literal. Why should the 1,000 years be literal? Things not found in Revelation 20. There are several things that would be part of the millennial concept that are not found in their passage or their proof text. They include the second coming, the bodily resurrection, the reign of Christ on the earth, the Jews returning to Palestine, Christ returning to set foot on earth in Jerusalem, and the literal throne of David. None of that is taught. All of it is assumed, and none of it is found in Matthew 12, verse. None of it is found in Revelation 20, verse 4. And last, the consequences of such a ridiculous doctrine. It means that Christ is not priest. One cannot observe the Lord's Supper because the kingdom is not yet here. One cannot be born again because there is no kingdom. We're all in darkness, according to Colossians 1:13, and none are being converted now. We're still lost in our sin. Such thinking has gone aside. The 1,000-year reign is a theory. It is a man-made teaching, a man-made doctrine, not taught in the book. It is false. It is false to the core, and it is error. We don't believe it because it's not taught in the Bible, not proclaimed by the apostles, not promised by Jesus, and he has no earthly kingdom. He said that himself in John 18, verse 36, when he said his kingdom was not of this world. That is why the 1,000-year reign is a false doctrine, not the truth. Thank you.